This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely, totally delighted and stoked to be with you today. Yes, I am. It is Wednesday. You know, it's Wacky Wednesday. When I was in St. Louis this past weekend, I had so many people that came up and said, oh, we love Wacky Wednesday. I said, yeah, the wacky women of Wacky Wednesday. And they just laughed and chortled. And they said, you know, it's just so much fun to listen to you and Sue and to have an opportunity to have questions answered about some of the strange things that we see going on, in the culture of the day. And as a matter of fact, I know Sue can hear me. I had a priest that came up to me and he said, I go out all the time and consult your website. He said, I go to your New Age blog. And I said, oh, Father, I'm so glad to hear that. I said, you know, we have many exorcists that tell us that they do that. And he just smiled at me. So I don't know if he was an exorcist or not. If he was, he wasn't giving it up. He wasn't letting me know. But then he asked me some questions about chakras. So I'm going to ask Sue the question that he asked me and hope that he might be listening today to have my answer either affirmed by Sue or corrected by Sue. I think I gave him the right response, though. But all of that being said, we certainly do invite you to check out our website and obviously to use our New Age blog. It is there for you. It is free. You know, I'm telling you, we just want to get the word out. And it's been a standard feature of the work that we've done, as I told this priest, since 1992-ish. We actually started to move forward in this direction. We did it through a television program at EWTN called The New Age, Satan's Counterfeit, that we did, oh my gosh, all the way back. But I have been actively engaged in researching the New Age since 1987. I can't even get over that when I think about it, but it's ever so true. And that all started here at EWTN. It's a long story. One of these days I'll share it with you. But that being said, I started doing the research in 87 and started moving forward a little bit in getting the word out about it. In 1990, the first Defending the Faith conference that took place at Franciscan University of Steubenville was more of a, I'm going to call it this, it was more of a symposium. It was a gathering together of people that were looking at some of what was on the cultural scene and happening at the time. Satanism was rife. That was a topic under discussion. Creation spirituality was under discussion at that event. Western occultism was under discussion at that event. Eastern Oriental mysticism was under discussion at that event. Centering prayer, which is what I presented on, was under discussion at that event. So I had the opportunity, EWTN sent a crew to interview all of these people that had gathered there to speak and to present. I can't remember exactly how many of them there were. It wasn't a huge gathering, as I say. I mean, it was really mostly people that were deeply engaged in trying to sort the truth from the falsehood. What was heresy? What wasn't? All that kind of stuff. But it was really rather fascinating. And then from that, we did a television program, the television program for EWTN. And then we were just kind of off to the races. And then Sue joined us. And so all of the research end of that became Sue's domain. So she is the one responsible in all of these intervening years for keeping us informed about some of the nonsense that we see out there. And I got to tell you, it really is nonsense. It comes from the pit of hell. Nonsense is probably a kind word for what it is. It is diabolical in its origins and diabolical in its execution, and it creates spiritual havoc for people. So that's why we talk about it. But anyway, I want you to check out the New Age blog out there because your questions and answers can be resolved there, and you can, you can take your personal answer and measure it up against what Sue says against it and see if you're right on or if you need to have a corrected perspective on something. You can actually even look up your area of interest, whatever topic it is that you want information on. You can put that in the search engine there, the search feature, and I'll tell you what, bunches of articles in most cases will come up because this has been a long, long sacrificial apostolic work through Women of Grace for a number of years. So it's there for you. All kinds of other good things are there. I do want to mention to you, you know, I'm really happy. We've been working on our website, and it's so colorful and pretty. I love to go out here and take a peek. If you haven't taken a peek, you should go out there and take a peek. Number one in the slideshow, we've got an event coming up for our Young Women of Grace, our online event for teen girls, Friday, June the 13th from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Eucharist and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I am so excited because Sister Teresa Marie, a Maronite sister, is going to be presenting to our young ladies, and she is just delightful and charming. I was with her in Pittsburgh a couple of weeks back when I did a retreat for the Maronite women of the Eastern Eparchy, and she's just beautiful and engaging in every way, and she has an Australian accent. It just adds, to her, personality. It's just, anyway, I so enjoy her. So I'm so excited for our young girls to get a chance to meet her. So if you have a young daughter, and we're talking about a daughter maybe that's a mature 12-year-old up to 18, and you would like for her to find out more about who she is as a daughter of the Most High God and how she can begin to live that out, if you want to save her from some of the cultural influences that are, afoot in the world today, then please do join us for this. Your daughter can come by herself. We welcome moms and grandmoms and aunties and godmothers and teachers to join us as well. This event costs nothing except your time. You do need to register so we can get the link to you. But I can tell you, I know the women who put these together, one of whom is my daughter, and I know the amount of time and effort that they put into these. They're absolutely beautiful. And I think that the graphic that's right there on our homepage in our slideshow shows you, the beauty and the wonder that is part of this beautiful, beautiful outreach for young women. We want to call your attention to our Benedicta Institute for Women. We have a course underway right now, Who is Woman? The Journey from Eve to Mary. And then our Essentials on Carmelite Spirituality course is beginning on June 30th. So it's open now for registration. Just get out to our website, click on Benedicta Institute for Women. You can check it out there, and we're encouraging you to do that. I want to remind you, June 7th, St. Andrew the Apostle Catholic Church, Charleroi, Pennsylvania. It is a one-day Pentecost event that we are putting on with Praise Nation and Father Hartle's parish, St. Andrew the Apostle. We want for you to join us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. You know, I was praying about this event today, and I had an image in my mind. And however it is that you picture the Holy Spirit, picture the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was there, and the Holy Spirit had an abundance of presents, packages, beautifully wrapped, that were just sitting there. And he was just waiting for people to come and take these packages. He wanted to present them, these gifts, to his people. And I thought, oh my goodness, that is this event. It is a beautiful opportunity to go and come and receive heaven's treasures, the treasures that heaven wants to pour out upon you. So check it out. Join us for this beautiful one-day event. All of the information at our website, you can register right there. Will you hear that music? Sue Brinkman is in the house. And when we come back, oh boy, we dive headlong into Wacky Wednesday. 833-288-EWTN. Call with your question now. Leave it for us in the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. We're coming right back. Stay with us. Alrighty-dighty, you hear that music, and that is certain to let you know that it is Wednesday, in case you forgot the day of the week that we are currently in. It happens to me. Maybe it happens to you, too. But not when we hear that music. We know it's Wednesday. It's Wacky Wednesday here on Women of Grace. Sue Brinkman is with us. We talk about the strange things that we see happening in our culture. Oftentimes, we can't discern if it's Christian or if it's New Age, and we want to take away that question mark in your mind. We want to give you the answer. And Sue does tremendous research on this, digs deeply into it. She does help us to separate the truth from the lie, the light from the darkness, so that we can walk that path that leads to our Lord Jesus Christ. So we invite you to call us with your questions, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. So please do give us a call. Matthew Gubensky will receive your call and get you up on the board. Pedro Quiles will collect your questions or comments if you leave them for us in the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. We welcome your questions coming to us that way. Any way we can get them, we're happy for them. Also, you can text your question, text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Do know that message and data rates may apply. We've got one call up on the board. We're going to get to you, Maria, in just a minute. We invite you to join Maria. Oh, yes, we do. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can do that. Well, good morning to you, Sue.
Oh, good morning to you. You sound so chipper and happy and on the ball today.
Well, that's because we have this opportunity to talk about this important topic. And so there I was. I just want to start with this. And I know we've got a great topic that we're going to get into. But there I was at the Renaissance Hotel there at the airport in St. Louis, Missouri, for this beautiful, beautiful event. It was the 26th annual Marian Conference put on by people that I have known since, 1998 or something like that. Anyway, all of that being said, it was a lovely event. And a priest came up and he, shared with me that, he loves Wacky Wednesday. He so appreciates it. He uses our blog, so appreciates our blog. And then he said, Jeanette, can I ask you a question? And I said, sure, Father, what's your question? He said, where are the chakras located in the human body? And I said, well, Father, they're not located anywhere because they don't exist. And I said, he says, well, what are they? I said, well, this is what they're supposed to be. Psychic energy wheels, right? And I said, as the Kundalini serpent rises up the base of the spine, I said, now understand, none of this is fact. This is not reality, but this is the philosophy. It excites those chakras and leads you deeper into enlightenment until it reaches the head chakra. And then you've reached and attained enlightenment. And he said, is that what is meant by the third eye? I said, well, yes, you could say that is part of that, experience. Yes, that's the third eye. And he said, how do they do that? What modalities basically are used? And I said, well, yoga for one, every single yoga, which is why we say you can't do yoga. He said, oh no, you can't do yoga. I said, no. I said, it's not reconcilable. I said, you can't baptize it. It's not a Mr. Potato Head. You just can't stick something into it and make it something other than it is. It's still a potato head, right? It's still yoga. And he said, yes. And I said, and also any kind of the, various meditations that attend to things like that, like TM, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what I told him. I couldn't think of any of the other ways in which that's excited. I've thought of a few since then, but that's what I gave him. So what do you think? Do I get an A, a B, C, or flunk?
You did not flunk at all. You get an absolute A for that. Absolute A. That is right. As far as the location of it, that was such a great answer. They're nowhere because they're not there.
They don't exist, Father.
They don't exist. This is part of the Hindu belief system, is what it is. And if you go to our blog on chakra therapy, we actually have a picture there, and it shows you the spots where the different energy centers supposedly are located, starting with that crown chakra, going down all the way down into the groin area. Then there's one of the abdomen, midriff, and then mid chest, and then throat, and then the face, and then of course the crown chakra, which would be the one on the top of the head. But this is a part of the Hindu belief system, and they believe that these are these are centers, energy centers, mm-hmm. And that they have the ability to receive and transmit life force energy.
Right. We talked about that.
That they can mm-hmm. transmit that, right? And so if you have states of ill health and that's believed to be a distortion in this chakra system, which prevents the energy, the life force energy from freely flowing in and out of the body. So, but also they claim these chakras resonate with this particular frequency or vibration. They're really into that. This is very new age. And they're balanced back to their natural state of vibration by a variety of means. And this is, you know, manipulating them. And this could be using light. They use sound. They use aroma. They use touch. You know, like Reiki.
The singing
and that
bowls.
Sort of thing.
Would the singing bowls.
The singing
be part
bowls is exactly what. Yes, exactly right. Singing bowls is another one. And there's different light therapies or that. And of course, aromatherapy. This is all the ways that you supposedly are balancing the chi in the chakras of your body. So that's what the chakra is, their energy centers. In traditional Chinese medicine, these same energy centers are known as meridians, but mm-hmm. they're described more as channels.
Yes.
As channels that this qi energy flows through. Now, the third eye that you mentioned, that's really like more like a sixth sense. Again, that's in the Hindu tradition. That's a sixth sense. It's associated, it's believed to be associated anyway with the chakras. And they, you know, they're sort of like, this is where you get your psychic energy from and your psychic mm-hmm. abilities and that. That's really what that third eye is. And it enhances your imagination and your concentration, your intuition, and all that kind of stuff. So that's what that is. If you want spiritual abilities like clairvoyance and visions and precognition, that's your third eye. And you want to open your third eye. You want to work to open that third eye. So that's what that's all about. You did a great job on that. You did a great job answering that question.
Well, thanks. Yeah. And we did talk about the meridians and all of that. You know, I was explaining to him that this is the same thing, you know, and the life force energy and all of that. And, you know, the bindi that a lot of the Hindu women wear between their eyes, you know, mm-hmm. in the forehead, centered, you know, just almost between the eyebrows, that is an indication of the third eye. Some of them, you know, it's just an adornment, and sometimes it symbolizes that you're married and that kind of a thing. But for the most part, that is what that symbolizes. So especially if you would see that, I think, on a Western woman, you know, you know, the Western woman would have absolutely no reason to wear that unless, of course, she's trying to communicate to you that she's got psychic powers. So, yeah. So, you know, well, I appreciate that, Sue. Thank you very much. And it's just an indication of how important this work is that goes on through Women of Grace, and that you do, Sue, because people have these questions, and we've got questions coming in already. And friends, you can join those who have questions. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also, want to let you know that we have opportunity available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You just have to get on out there. Use the chat feature at either one of those two sites and put in your question or comment. Please do tell us who you are and where you are. And if you're not listening via social media, how it is that you're listening. And you can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how it is that you're listening to us. Don't forget to put your comment in there. And know that message and data rates may apply. So do you want to talk with us about our topic before we go to Maria, or do you want to go to Maria? I'm letting it up to you, Sue.
Well, I don't want to let Maria be waiting. So why don't we just go ahead and go to Maria? I think the listeners should always be first.
Okay. I totally agree with you. We are in sync as usual. Maria is a first-time caller from Pennsylvania listening to us via JMJ Radio. If you're a first-time caller, as Maria is, I have my little first-time caller bell here that I ring for your debut. It's a little hokey, but I sure like it. Here you go. Hi, Maria. How are you?
Fine. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for calling.
I'm calling. I clean houses. I do that for a living.
Okay.
And I see people, the way they live tends to be a little bit different than the way that they are outside. And I see how they have, you know, some of the houses, little voodoo dolls, or they have a Pachamama, or they have the tarot cards. And at this time, I honestly don't know what to do. When I was in high school, our family bought a house that had a Ouija board, and nobody in my house does any of that. So we burned it, but the house itself became demonic. things came out of it, and we had to have a priest come and bless it. I don't want any of these things when I go to someone's house to hurt me or even hurt the people there. I don't know what to do.
Now, it's telling me in my chat feature here that these are Catholic homes. Is that right? These people are Catholic?
Most of them are practicing Catholic.
Yikes. Okay. Well, that's very disturbing on a number of levels. Just the fact of the matter that, you know, there is a proliferation of these occult signs, symbols, and practices that are in homes that you're cleaning. That's, you know, very, very disturbing. But the fact that these homes are homes owned by Catholics and they're living in those homes, that's really disturbing. So, Sue, what do you say to Maria?
Well, first of all, Maria, as far as your personal protection is concerned, as long as you're in a state of grace, you're okay to go into that house. Nothing's really going to happen to you. The Lord is going to, he takes care of his own. He's a good father. He'll do that. You might want to say a prayer to St. Michael right before you go in there, any other kind of devotion that you might have to the rosary or whatever, just to be safe. But as long as you're in a state of grace, that's really the biggest weapon that we have against Satan. And that was Pope Paul VI talked about that back in that famous speech of his in 1972 when he talked about the devil, and he said the biggest defense we have against him is the state of grace. So you want to always be sure that you're doing that. As far as them, you know, the tarot and the voodoo dolls, oh wow, I mean, they
that's
are
scary.
Involved in the occult.
Deeply.
With that sort of thing. Yeah, that is involved in the occult. And they are, you know, really playing with fire there inside that house. And as you experienced having lived in a home where they were playing with a game and it became infested, people don't realize, and I think that they've been desensitized in many ways to the occult because of it, how prevalent it is in our entertainment and how they trivialize it that way. They don't think it's all that scary or it's all that bad. Oh, I'm just fooling around. It's not a big deal. You know, any little thing like that will open a door and he can come in and begin to harass you. You know, the devil can get in at you. I can't tell you to not clean those houses, but you're not in any danger yourself by going there and cleaning those houses. You're not. But if I were you, I would bring blessed salt and holy water.
Yes.
And I would make sure that I added that to the cleaning water, you know, so that you could
spiritually clean
do.
That house, Maria.
Yeah, that's what I would do, Maria, for sure.
Maybe the Lord's even allowed you to, you know, gain entrance into those homes specifically for that reason. But, you know, too, you know, Sue, I think, you know, if you feel uneasy in those homes, you know, you might want to consider whether or not you want them as clients and, you know, and kind of prayerfully consider that. And should you have the opportunity to talk with them and you felt like you had the wherewithal to mention it to them, you know, especially if you know that they're Catholic and say, you understand, of course, that the church teaches against these things and that it's a serious sin to be involved in them. I just wanted to let you know that. I mean, I wouldn't have any problem saying that to somebody, but it takes a little bit of chutzpah, I guess you'd say, a little courage to do that. But I just also too, Sue, you know, I would make sure that I've got my St. Benedict medal on or something.
Yeah. I would do that too. That's very disturbing. And I'm kind of surprised to hear that you're finding that in Catholic homes with people who are practicing the faith. It just tells me that we need to do a little bit more teaching on this subject.
Golly gee, yes.
From the pulpit even. Yeah.
You read my mind. I was thinking the same thing. Our priests have got to talk about this. And I think that they don't like the topic any more than we like the topic. We, you know, just so our listenership knows, we don't relish this topic, you know. This is basically, you know, a request of heaven to do this, right? And so we follow through on it, but it's not the most pleasant thing in our lives, right, Sue?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're called to it.
That's
and the
right.
Lord does, I believe, protect us and help
yes.
us. You know, along the, he really does do that. He really does do
yes.
it. Like, I don't run around scared all the time. I
no.
just don't. I have a very
no.
peaceful life. I mean,
no. Yes, exactly.
Me. This is what he needs.
That's
yeah.
right. We are not fearful by this. But the priest did say something. You know, I said, Susan does a marvelous job. And he said, well, you know, tell her that before she's doing her research, she needs to pray protection prayers. And I said, oh, Father, I can assure you that she prays protection prayers.
We even get out of bed before. I say those prayers to the angels every day, to Our Lady. I mean, I call on everybody. Please help me. And then I get up and get my coffee.
There you go. Well, you know, and we just want to share this with you, friends, that, you know, those protection prayers are available for you. Of course, we've got the St. Michael the Archangel prayer given to us by St. Leo the 13th. And he, you know, saw what he saw. And it's interesting because Fatima happened right after that. But all that being said, there's other prayers for protection too, and they're available for you online. So just get out there and look them up. Maria, thank you. I hope that helps you today. I'm very, very happy for your call. And we've got another first-time caller, Sue. Nancy is with us. She is in Virginia, and she is listening to us via Sirius XM Station 130. Nancy, welcome today.
Hi. Thanks so much. Can you hear me?
Just fine. We hear you great.
Okay, good. This is sort of following up on the other call. I'm hearing my echo. Should I turn my radio off?
That would be a good idea.
Okay. All right. So I'm having guests coming in a couple of weeks, middle of June, and I believe that a couple of them are involved in the occult. They're going to be staying with me for a couple of days. I was just wondering if you had some suggestions.
Okay, go for it, Sue.
Family members coming to stay with you who are involved in the occult.
So there's that music. We're going to have to hold.
Oh, okay.
Nancy, don't disappear. And friends, don't you disappear either. You stay right with us. Sue is going to answer that question. Maybe you've had a similar situation where you have people coming into your home and you know they're involved in the occult, but you don't know what to do about it. What to do about it is what Sue is going to tell us. So Nancy, stay with us. Friends, we invite you to call us as well, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Or use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Those are two easy breezy ways that you can reach us today. Matthew Gubensky on the phones, Pedro Quiles collecting your questions, and Vanessa Sanchez doing all of our producing today. We're coming right back. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. It is Wednesday today. It's Wacky Wednesday, the two wacky women of Wacky Wednesday with you today. Sue Brinkman, as always, is with us on Wednesdays to talk about the New Age and to answer your questions regarding it. We've got a good one here. Let me give you the number first, though, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. We invite you to do so. Also invite you to use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. And you can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. And then put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we will get it. We've got Nancy with us, and she is a first-time caller from Virginia today. And Nancy has some family members that are coming, and they are involved in the occult. And she's asking, what should we do? So, Nancy, I mean, I can understand how this is a very sensitive issue and puts you into a very uncomfortable position. So, Sue, what do you say to Nancy here?
I would very much hesitate to allow them to stay inside your house. Now, that depends, maybe it doesn't depend on what exactly they're doing, because really any kind of involvement in the occult is dangerous. Are they mediums? Are they, you know, contacting the dead? Are they involved in any kind of voodoo, you know, cursing, any kind of magic? What exactly are they involved in? Do you even know what they are involved in?
No, it's a totally speculation, and it has to do with pictures and things like that that they post on Facebook.
Okay.
Like what kind of pictures, Nancy?
At all.
Nancy, what kind of pictures? Hello?
Yes.
Hello, I'm here.
Okay, what kind of pictures, Nancy, are they posting?
okay, there. So dragons, women, Mexican women who are in, you know, various poses and such. I'm talking. This is art. This is art. It is not photographs.
Okay.
These are drawings. I know that when this person lived in the Northwest. They were involved in circles and drumming and things like that.
Oh, okay.
But that was a while ago. So I don't necessarily know that they're involved in. I don't know. I'm just worried about it. That's all. I'm concerned. But they're coming from the West Coast, and so I hesitate not to have them here. But
It sounds like they might be involved in Native American type stuff, you know, with the circles and the drumming and that sort of thing, which is, of course, that's paganism, heavily saturated in the occult, some of their practices and rituals. But is there any way, do you know them well enough, Nancy, that you could kind of like talk to them a little bit and just say, look, these are my beliefs and, you know, I respect whatever your beliefs are, but, you know, they don't gel. And I just need to know that before I have you into my house. Is there any way, do you know them well enough that you could actually have a conversation with them about it?
This is my daughter and granddaughter.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
tough.
You should. That's very tough. That's very tough. Okay. Yeah. It's a tough one, Nancy. If you could talk with them, that would be great.
Yeah, I would ask her. I mean, you know, obviously your relationship is intact. It doesn't sound like it's a strained relationship if they're going to come and spend some time with you. I would think that before they do come, you would have an opportunity just to have a little conversation with them, an investigative conversation. You don't even have to, go in there with an intention one way or the other, but just to kind of flesh it out a little bit and just, you know, see what's going on. Just mention, you know, see some of these things on the website explained or on your Facebook page, you know, help me understand what this is about. And then you'll have a deeper understanding of what it is that you're facing if they should come and stay. And if they did stay there, you know, I would probably make sure that I've got blessed salt and holy water. And at some point, being the mom and the grandmom, this is a really hard thing, Nancy, but we never stop being a parent. Mm-hmm. We never stop. It doesn't matter how old our kids get. We're always their parent. Now, we cannot govern them in the same way as we could govern them when they were children. We really can't tell them what to do once they're in their majority. But we certainly can talk with them about things that they're doing that we find to be potentially difficult or harmful for them. So, you know, you could talk with your daughter. She might not receive it well. I'm not saying she will. She might not. But that's the risk we take. But there is a parental obligation always to speak truth to our children, even if it's difficult truth. And, you know, I honestly know very few parents, if any, that have not had to have difficult discussions with their children about things once their children were adults. So this is your home. And, you know, you do have a right to know what people are involved in when they're coming into your home, because if they're involved in all kinds of things that are difficult and strange, they could bring anything into the home with them. And Sue is right. You know, when you're in the state of grace, you are protected, but you don't want to knowingly, have somebody enter into your home with knowledge of them being involved in things that are difficult. So I would try to smoke it out a little bit. That's what I would try to do. Try to get some insight on what they're doing and just to say, well, you know, honey, I love you so much. I don't approve of that. And, you know, I'm a little bit skittish about all this. And let me tell you why I'm skittish about it. When we get involved in pagan practices, we are opening ourselves up to principalities and powers. And then it's a catechetical moment, you know. So it's probably not what you want to hear, Nance. But I don't know. I got to be straight up with you, and so does Sue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tough one. That's a tough one, but you'd be doing the right thing and the Lord be with you. And I would just spend a lot of time in prayer before you have that conversation and ask the Holy Spirit to permeate that conversation, to tell you what to say and how to say it. And then you just have to let the chips fall where they may. You just do what you need to do, and then let success or failure be up to the Lord's. Let it be His decision what exactly is going to happen. Because you don't know that a seed, they might get mad at first, but you'd be planting a seed. And you don't know when that seed is going to start to bloom.
Right.
And they're going to say, you know what, maybe Mom was right about this. You know?
Well, so, who knows? Maybe they've already experienced some odd things, and it maybe helps them to understand that. I'd get the guardian angels involved. You know, our guardian angels are really great. So I would send your angel to talk to their angels and and prepare them. You know, our angels do that. They wait for us to involve them in these kinds of difficult moments in our lives. Even when it's not a difficult moment, they're always there to aid us in the way in which we should go. Well, I hope that helps you, Nancy. It's not easy. It's not easy being a parent today. I don't care how old the kids are. It's not easy. So there you have it, sweetheart. Thank you for your call today, and call back again in the future. We welcome your call, and we appreciate you. We've got Suzanne with us. Suzanne is in Colorado today, and I'm not really sure how she's listening. Wait a second. I've got it covered up. Let me find out. Sirius XM, station 130, and I am ringing my bell for you, Suzanne. I don't know if you're a first-time caller or not, but you got a bell.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
We hear you just fine. Yes.
Hey, I have a question about kinesiology, and I wanted to know if either of you know anything about it.
Yeah, are you talking about kinesiology, which is a study of motion, or are you referring to applied kinesiology, which is muscle testing? Applied kinesiology is New Age.
Okay, so what she does, I don't know. All I know is what she does is she'll have you lay down to lift up your arm and then kind of push on it. And,
that's muscle testing.
And then she'll give you supplements and I don't understand it. So.
Yeah, it's New Age. It's New Age. Good call. I'm glad that you called about that, because this is really very prevalent with in chiropractor offices, others too. But it's called muscle testing. A fancier name they give to it is applied kinesiology, but that I think is a distortion, really. Muscle testing is an alternative. It's based on the notion that, like, every organ dysfunction is accompanied by a specific muscle weakness. So, like, you might have a weakness in your tricep, and that's because there's something wrong with your liver. Or, you know, something in your calf, and that corresponds to the kidney. There's groundless as far as science is concerned. It's been tested. There's nothing about it. It's a pseudoscience. But it's also, it doesn't have the best roots. The inventor was a man named George Goodhart. He was a Michigan chiropractor who discovered what he said was this in applied kinesiology in 64. And he combined elements of psychic philosophy, Chinese Taoism, and a belief in what early chiropractors called innate intelligence, which is qi. That's, you know, universal life force energy. Combine all this stuff into what he's saying, you know, is muscle testing. So it's really just a lot of hocus pocus, really. There's no science behind it. And I'm surprised that a doctor would use that. And I always recommend to people that if you are being introduced to that as a doctor, find another doctor. Because there's no science behind that. And there's no telling you what else are they doing in there that's not scientifically founded. Muscle testing, I think, is what you're referring to, Suzanne, and that's something that should be avoided.
Well, there you go, Suzanne, and we thank you for your call today. And before we get to Carolyn, we're going to go to Carolyn next on phones, but earlier, Nancy in Buffalo, New York called in, and I want to get to this question. She says, more and more people are getting tatted up. Are tattoos in any way connected to the New Age?
They can be. They can't be, and they can be connected to the occult as well. Depends on what the content, the message, you know, and the purpose of that tattoo is. As far as the church is concerned, there is no really official teaching on tattoos. And there's nothing inherently immoral about a Catholic having a tattoo. What would make those things immoral would, of course, be the content of that tattoo. If it's a pentagram, if it's something occultish, or something like a goddess or something like that, then it would be immoral to have that on there, because you would be, you know, promoting that in a way by having these things on your body. So it's a good question. It's a good question. We have several actual blogs up here about tattooing. One of them is called To Tattoo or Not to Tattoo. And that is, try to say that quickly. but that one is, that gives you a lot of information on tattoos. And, you know, the different advisories from our different priests. So I think that it would be worth your while to go out to that blog and look up tattoos, and you'll come up with some good information on it. That's a good question, though.
Yeah, it is. Jack and I were in the airport the other day. We were flying home, and a beautiful, beautiful young girl standing in front of us there, and her her one arm was pretty well sleeved, and she had like from her shoulder down to her elbow, in full color, you know, a Hindu god. Actually, I think it might have even been Buddha. And I said to Jack, why would she do that? I said, this girl is young. For the rest of her life, she's going to have this on her body. She could have a deep conversion experience to our Lord Jesus Christ, and she's still got, you know, this false god on her body, you know, or it just, I don't understand it. The other thing I don't understand is, like, people in our age group, Sue, that are running out there getting tattoos. I'm looking at these women of a certain age, and I'm saying, what are you thinking? I know you didn't get this in your 20s, because people in their 20s at that point in time were not necessarily tattooing.
Right.
They didn't do it. So this is like, oh, golly, why are you doing this? I don't get it. Anyway,
I know
it's a personal decision,
but
it's not my decision.
And then when things start to sag, that tattoo isn't going to look the same anymore
either.
It's
not going to look pretty. It's going to look really ugly. And the colors change too, by the way, folks. So, I mean, really think long and hard on that one. Not that I don't have children that have tattoos. You know, that's beside the point. Mom was not happy. All right, let's go to Carolyn. She is in Central California today. And she is listening to us via the EWTN app. And that gives me a good opening here to promote the EWTN app. If you don't have the EWTN app, you are missing out. So download that, as well as the Women of Grace app. They're both free of charge. Good morning to you, Carolyn.
Good morning, Jeanette and Sue. I'm so grateful you're here. I've got kind of two questions, two scenarios. I only mentioned actually one to the off-screener.
Okay.
So we don't have time. Anyway, the first one is just recently. I was with my friend, with her family members, okay? And one family member was, she was like in her 30s. And she said she's always been able to kind of hear or speak to, like, dead people, right? And I know this is, like, way, way wrong to be calling this man. I'm a very devout Catholic, and I know all this stuff. Listening to you guys even helped me to understand even more the severity of it. So my friend's, like, encouraging, oh, just let her, you know, kind of do this. So I was awkwardly letting it happen, not afraid to speak up and say, I can't do that, right? You know, but, you know, that curiosity and that evil one. Anyway, the temptation, I go, okay. So she sits with a sparkling glass of water, and she just looks into it. She says she does not call spirits. She does not call upon anybody. She just sits and waits to see what comes, right? Okay. So right then I'm like, oh God, that you're open to anything. And so she said a few things about that were meant for me. And one of the names I recognized, you know, is my long dead father-in-law years ago, his nickname. And so then she said a couple of other things that didn't resonate. So then I'm pondering it, and I'm feeling kind of interested at the time, but then later that night we go to bed, and of course I'm fearful. So I asked my friend, can I sleep in bed with you? You know, because I was just so frightened, and I was just really praying for protection And so that was one thing that happened. So I really wanted to respond on that. And then, you know, I have another question.
Well, let's respond to this one, Carolyn, and see where we are in terms of time, because we're getting close. So, Sue, would you respond to Carolyn?
Yeah, the reason that this person knew the nickname, it sounded like that might have impressed you a little bit that she knew the nickname, is because the devil told her. The devil's exactly all this. He knows all that information. He's a preternatural being. He has all kinds of powers that are far beyond our imagination. He knew exactly what name perhaps your mother-in-law or whoever that was used for you. He knows all those different things. That's where that's coming from. You can't speak to the dead. No one speaks to the dead unless God allows you to speak to the dead. And he already tells us in Scripture that it's an abomination to anybody who consults with the dead. You're not supposed to be doing that. Unless, of course, somebody comes and appears to you and asks for prayer. That we know happens. He does allow that. But it sounds like what your friend is doing here is not. She is serving as a medium, and she's talking to dead people. So that's a very dangerous thing that she's doing for herself. She has all kinds of things attached to her right now that she probably is not even aware of that are controlling her. I would not really want to even be in the same room with her, to be honest with you. It's not a good thing. As far as you're concerned, you know, what might have happened, what being she might have called down while you were with her, if she was doing any of these things, when she was looking into that bowl of water, that's a form of divination known as scrying. And it's like looking into a crystal ball, only they use the glassy surface of water, and they'll try to read something in that surface. But it's a form of divination. So just stay in a state of grace. Carolyn, just stay in a state of grace whenever you're around these people. But that's very dangerous what she's talking about. You don't just talk to the dead, and that she has this ability. Devil can be doing that from the time she was a little girl and convincing her that that's what it is, but it's not. It's him.
Yeah.
It's him doing this.
Well, and if I could just interject with two things. One, the fact that you were afraid right away is an indication that that there was a demonic power present at that time, because the Holy Spirit does not incite fear. The only fear he incites is the fear of God, which is actually awe, A-W-E, of God. It's not fear like a tremulous feeling within the soul. The other thing I want to say, Carolyn, and, you know, I'm just going to say this. You knew what the church taught on this, and you succumbed to temptation. We all succumb to temptation. There's no question about that. We do, in a variety of ways. You know, it says in Scripture, all of us, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And another place in Scripture, it says, even the just man sins seven times a day. But because, you see now that this is actually, it is a sin to participate in these kinds of occult activities. It's a sin. And it can be a grave sin. It's not for me to determine grave or not grave. But I would definitely take this to the sacrament of confession. The sacrament of confession is fantastic, obviously, because it's a conduit of grace. We receive the healing and freedom that we need. But because you did participate in this, you know, you just don't want any residual effects of this. And the sacrament of reconciliation also carries with it a simple exorcism. So, you know, I would strongly urge you to do that, and I would just never, ever get involved in anything occult again. Sometimes we have to trip up in order to learn a lesson, and just to share that, you know, full transparency, early on in my reversion back to the faith, I went to a psychic, and I had received deliverance from that, because the evil one really likes it when he hooks a big fish. You know, and somebody that's a believer is a big fish to the evil one. So just a little bit of sisterly advice and counsel on that one. And maybe you've already taken care of it. I sure hope that's the case. But thank you for your call, because I'll tell you what, Carolyn, you're not alone. He is always, always, always out there lurking and seeking whom he can devour. And even if he gets a firm chomp on us, he's quite happy, even if we're not completely devoured. So thank you for your question, for your authenticity, and for your vulnerability. and sharing the story with us today. It's an important one. Well, Sue, we are right down to the wire here. I don't know that we've got time to get to Maureen, and I don't quite know what the question is. She said that she found out that her daughter doesn't know what to believe about anything, and I think that she means about faith and religion and love of God. Very quickly, Maureen, the best thing for you to do is to pray for her. Pray the rosary. And if you can pray the Undoer of Knot rosary novena, that's the one that I would pray for. And then just hang on and keep praying. Sue, it's been great. Thank you so much for everything. It was a wonderful program. I appreciate you.
Thanks for
I love
me.
You too.
Thank you. I love you too.
I know you do. God bless. We'll talk to you soon. And friends, we're going to be back with you again tomorrow. Wishing you a beautiful day in the Lord. Until we are together again, may the abundant life of Jesus Christ be yours, and may God richly bless you. Get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. See what's coming up. Sign up. Join us. It's great. It's great. It's great. Great gift of God. Until we're together again, bye-bye now.